What up, what up, what up? Oh man, thank you so much for listening to the Impact Sports Cincinnati podcast. This is the Asbrox Bengals Thoughts edition. I'm not going to lie, got a little excited there. But man, I tell you what, I've got reason to be. My name is Chris Asbrox, and of course, this is brought to you by Impact Sports Cincinnati. And I am joined by my co-host, Nick Cimino. And Nick, man, I tell you what, the excitement right from the beginning is justified because our Cincinnati Bengals are headed to the Super Bowl, my friend. How are you?
It's, you know, this is I could say this is one of the best victory Monday Tuesdays we've had in quite some time. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a surreal feeling. You know, it's just, you know, it's a moment. It's something, you know, you never want to forget. It's an awesome moment for all Bengals fans.
It is. And, you know, I got a little excited right there at the beginning. Normally my intro is not, normally it's excitement because I just truly love doing the podcast, but man, I tell you what, you know, this has been just a ton of fun just these last couple weeks and what we've experienced as Bengals fans. Because here's the thing, and it's well known, you're not from this area. You're from upstate New York. You very well could have easily been a Bills fan, a Giants fan, a Jets fan, a Patriots fan. But no, you're a Bengals fan. And you might not have been here in town for the rough times, you know, the lost decade. But you were in spirit, you know, but you could have easily bailed when times got tough and you didn't, you know, and that is, you know, situations like Sunday were for fans like us. And let's be real, you know, and I, you know, like I said, we talk every day. And I told you, I'm not here to be the gatekeeper of Bengal fandom just because that's not right. But I want the fans who have been around the longest, you know, I want them to enjoy this because, man, this is just awesome, man. This is fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And I mean, like you said, I mean, growing up where I'm from, I very easily could have been a Bills fan. I mean, most people figured I would have been a Bills fan, a Jets fan, a Giants fan. And we did have people in the area that were Patriots fans too, but I mean, amazingly enough, I did choose the Bengals as my team, and I mean, which is obviously a little odd to a lot of people, especially from around here when they always say how did you end up a Bengals fan. But I actually did. I mean, it's just, I mean, I know a lot of people from this area. Obviously, you know, growing up in Cincinnati, it was easy to pick the Cincinnati as a team because, you know, hey, I live here. You know, they're my local team. It's, you know, let's follow the local team. I actually chose this team, so it's like, you know, So every time, you know, people always say, you know, I'm a Bengals fan. This is the team I picked, and I mean, out of all the other teams across America, I could have been a 49er fan. But no, amazingly enough, I actually did choose the Bengals. They were my team, and we definitely. You know, I mean, I didn't get to watch them a lot when I was younger. I mean, I would catch them when they played the Bills, or if they ever played the Giants or the Jets, or that's when I would only time I were to catch them. I mean, I just remember always when I was young watching them, the Bengals play the Bills, so I would see Icky Woods do the Icky Shuffle, and then I'd see him play the Jets. You know, Boomer versus Ken O'Brien, and it's, you know, Phil Sims versus, you know, Boomers, but. So, you know, to now see them where they've reached to now, it's simply amazing. And it's such a great feeling, you know. And I remember the first time coming to Cincinnati and seeing a game, you know, and walking into, you know, a few local bars down by the stadium. And I walked in and I just remember looking at Sarah and saying, these are my people. You know, I mean, they know what I feel. And they know what I feel, you know, they're in the losses and the wins. And it's like, so now when we're all in the Super Bowl, I get that great feeling. Even though I'm not from the area, I still get that great feeling of what they've accomplished this year. It's a great feeling and something that you don't want to let go.
No, and this has been, you know, what we saw against the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, it's funny because we had both talked about going into the AFC Championship game. We both didn't want to face Buffalo. We did for personal reasons because, you know, we both enjoy, you know, we both like the Bills. We know Bills fans. And, you know, which we thought, well, you know, hey, that's a cool situation, but we match up so much better against the Kansas City Chiefs than what we do the Buffalo Bills.
Absolutely.
I mean, and obviously this showed that, and, you know, and we, you know, just January 2nd, showed that this team can hang with anybody. And that was the call. I'll never forget Dan Hoard, the phenomenal Bengals broadcaster, radio broadcaster. You know, he goes, this team can hang with anybody. And that's exactly what they can do. So we knew going into this game, hey, we match up better against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, let's be real. We both predicted they would lose. But we both
we actually did predict, except the morning of the game, I called you and I actually said that I had sort of wavered. Remember, I told you that I actually liked him during the game, actually.
You did. I brought the game. I brought
it. I did. The morning of the game, right before the game started, I called you back and I said, I was actually close to the final score. I said 28-24. The final ended up being 27-24. But I don't know what it was. It was just that I talked myself into it. The whole week long, I was thinking, oh, you know, this, all right, this is going to be it. This, you know, this is where we bow out. You know what I mean? Hey, we've done a great job. We made it this so far. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know, we've beat this team once before and we match. And you said a lot of good things last time we had a conversation that, you know, we match up really well against them. And just the things, you know, I started weighing all of it. I'm like, you know what? I actually do like them in this game. I just like too much about them, what they bring. And sure as heck, they brought their game and the game. Amazingly enough, this game, this playoff game played off the same exact way the other game played off. We fell behind 11 at halftime and we made our adjustments and Kansas City just never responded to our adjustments, which, I mean, the national media surprised us heck about that. They didn't respond to any. They basically stood pat. They didn't make any changes and that was it.
It's amazing because the way the game started out, and I was watching it at my house, like I did the last game because, you know, I was actually at the first game. But the way the game started off, and you could just tell the way Kansas City had started the game, you're kind of going, okay. I mean, they go 11 plays, 84 yards in time possession of 6 minutes and 9 seconds. I mean, that right there. And they go, like I said, 11 plays, 84 yards, touchdown. The next drive, 7 plays, 75 yards, took 3 minutes and 22 seconds, touchdown. Next drive, 4 minutes and 56 seconds off the clock, 8 plays, 67 yards, touchdown. So their first three drives, they flat out went right down the field on this, which, let's be real, is okay because that's how this offense is. This Chiefs offense is a high-powered offense. And I was talking to my neighbor Austin the other day about it. You know, he grew up Bills fan. I mean, obviously, you know Brad and Angel and the kids, and you know they're Bills fans as well. And you know, I was talking to Austin. He was bumming pretty good about the Bills losing. But you know, and I told him, I said, as great as it would have been, you know, facing you guys, I'm glad we didn't, because of there's only a handful of offenses in the NFL that can keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs. We're one of them. And we proved that in week 16. And we proved that again this game. However, this game, our defense stepped up and played absolutely bonkers in the second half. And that was the difference in this game.
Yeah. I mean, in the first game, what a lot of people don't remember, though, is we should have had 2 interceptions in that first game, but we dropped both of them.
And oh, yeah, you're
in this,
right. You're
in
right.
the second game in the second half, we actually made those interceptions. So that was the biggest turning point in the game, is that we should have had 2 interceptions the first game. We dropped them. In this game, we had 2 interceptions. We got them. We actually should have had Eli Apple should have had that one interception where he should have picked six and brought it back, which would have ended the game instantly. So that would have been all over regardless. But
yeah
I mean, the defense really has come to play here recently. They have, I think we have 7 turnovers in the playoffs, which is amazing. And we could play with anybody. Our defense, the way they're playing right now, we could play with anybody. We really can. And the offense is going to be there. The offense is really there. I can't wait. Cause I mean, they definitely did the job against Patrick Mahomes. They stifled him. They played a defense that Patrick Mahomes wasn't familiar with. You know, we played 3 down linemen. We allowed, whether it be Trey Hendrickson or Sam Hubbard, to basically drop back in coverage and basically spy the quarterback. And that's what they were doing. They would spy the quarterback.
It was amazing how they would, yeah.
They,
how
would, They put him
Oh,
in
go ahead.
coverage.
I'm
They would
sorry.
follow him. They would put him either on a tight end or on a wide receiver and let the other cornerback help out. But then once Mahomes realized that the coverage was there, he would try to take off. And as soon as he started to move, whether it be Trey or be Sam Hubbard, they went after him. And he was not familiar with it, and he was not comfortable with it.
And he was uncomfortable. There was a couple
Oh, he was
times.
extremely uncomfortable. I mean, every person I listened to, whether it had been Greeny, Mike Greenberg or Colin Coward, I mean, everybody I heard said he literally, for the first time in a long time, everyone said he looked frustrated, he looked lost, he looked confused, and that's hard to do for Patrick Mahomes.
Well, and here's the thing, but according to Nick Wright, he's still Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Okay.
Nick Wright,
Screw Nick Wright, but
even
okay.
after the loss, the man didn't want to admit the mistake. So instead of trying to admit the mistake, he comes on live. He came out live with his daughter on his lap, so his co-host couldn't attack him about it.
Well, that's because he's an absolute jackass. That guy, I don't know how in God's name he's made it as far as he has. He's a complete and utter moron, but that's beside the point. I'm going to come off my soapbox on that. I can't stand the dude. I never have liked him, and he just
Most
continues to show why he's a complete and utter moron. But
Cincinnati fans are not a fan of him.
in all fairness, I mean, I hated him before, so this is just added on. This is basically, as Dan Horder would say, coffin nails, and you got to give the lap on bam, bam, bam on that. But okay, let's go back to the basically to the first half here. Like I said, I was talking about the drive summary, and in looking at the game notes and the time of possession, and here's one thing that I think really stands out, and I think is it's not being talked about at all, but look at the time of possession. Well, I don't want to say even, but there was about a minute and 4 second difference. The Chiefs had the ball for 15 minutes and 32 seconds. The Bengals 14 minutes and 28 seconds. What's the significance of that? The Bengals held it for almost the exact same amount of time as the Kansas City Chiefs, not allowing them to put points up on the board. The Bengals drives in the first, in the first, the first half were a minute and 34. They went three and out. I was not upset about that. But then when you saw Kansas City go right back down, like I said, on that 11 play, 84 yard drive and score a touchdown, which side note, that throw by Patrick Mahomes, sidearm, absolute freaking laser beam to Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, let me rephrase that. Tyreek Hill in the back corner of the end zone, unbelievable. That is absolutely unbelievable. Uncoverable. You have to just flat out tip your cap to a quarterback when he makes that play, and because there's nothing you can do. And man, it was absolutely impressive to watch. But look at total first downs in this, in the first half. The Bengals had 8, Kansas City 18. You're going, okay, that could be, that could be a little. But again, that time of possession was a huge piece of the puzzle in that first half of the game, because again, they are not allowing Kansas City's high-powered offense to kick into gear and keep it rolling and putting up more points than just the 21 they did. Now we'll talk about the end of the half here in just a minute, but what are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think I'm in the right, right frame there, or am I thinking a little too much into it?
No, I think you're spot on. I really do. I think you're spot on with that. I mean, I'm trying to see how I want to put this here. It's almost
I
like they were
feel you.
still trying to feel out Kansas City's defense for most of the first half, even though they were familiar with them. But trying to think what I'm trying to how to put this.
Well, because while you're thinking, here's the thing. It's not like we played Kansas City in week 3 or
No,
something like that.
it's
We
not like
literally
it's not
played
like the
week
Buffalo it's not like the
16. It was
Buffalo
5 weeks
situation
ago.
where Buffalo played in week 5 and they played him way, the play in the playoffs. We played him in week 17. We literally played him 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was, well, no, week 16, because we
Oh.
had the Cleveland game. after that.
Oh no, no, oh, remember, it's an 18, it's an 18-week season now, so it was week 17.
Oh crap, man! You're right. Dang it!
Sorry, well, now just I feel me like out a little
idiot.
Bit.
Yeah, but dude, my bad. I feel like a total moron. I've lost. No, all you're fine. You're fine.
So weeks, like I said, it's been 3 weeks since we played them, and like I said, I mean, we came out. The time of possession was key, like you said. Even though we didn't have as many first downs as them, we possessed the ball long enough to we kept him off the field. We didn't let the score get out of control because, trust me, we all know it could have got out of control. I mean, they score a touchdown, we get a field goal, they score again, up 14-3. Next thing we know, we turn around, they get the ball back, they go down and score again. It's 21-3. And now it's like, oh no. It's like things can get really out of control here. And then we get the ball and we work our way down the field and we score to make the 21-10. And once you get the 21-10, it's like, all right, now we're within 11. This is, you know, we can manage this in the second half because we were down 11 the last game. But then when Kansas City goes right back on the field again, all the way down to our 5, and actually, no, way, all the way down to the 1, because that's right, because they got pass interference in the end zone. They're all the way down to the 1, and you're like, oh, great. This is where, like, okay, things get out of hand here. But like you said in the very top, the defense stepped up there to keep Tyreek Hill out of the end zone, and I think that play determined the whole second half.
It totally did. And if you take a step back and you think about the big moments of that football game, obviously the first half, that was the touchdown by Samaje Perine on that 41-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, you've got to give mad props to Samaje Perine for making that play and making that happen. I mean, that drive was
– That's your guy.
Love me some Samaje Perine. They tend to play him a little too much for my liking, as much as I love him. He tends to be in there in some situations where I'd really like to see Joe Mixon. But regardless, that was a 7-play, 70-yard drive capped off, but that was a 41-yard touchdown pass, or touchdown reception, I guess you can say, that took 3 minutes and 59 seconds off the clock. So they still went 70 yards on that and were able to, you know, the key part of that is you get a field goal there, you're down 21-16 at that point in time. You're like, okay, still not looking good. The touchdown there makes it 21-11, like you had said. That's an 11-point game. You're right in it. But for Kansas City to go right down the field, and you're thinking, oh, crap, because a touchdown there ends the game. Like, the Bengals are not going to overcome that. A touchdown in that situation when Kansas City gets the ball back, right, you know, to start off the second half.
Absolutely, because they would have had nothing but momentum. They would have been up 28-10.
Exactly.
We're down 18. We're down 18, not 11. They get the ball. They have the momentum. That would have changed the whole dynamic of the game. I mean, because I personally think if they score there, they turn around, come out in halftime, and I think they would have gone right down and scored again. I think then the game would have been nail coffee. We would have been done.
Exactly. And that is, I mean, you can't take away how huge that play was. And, you know, let's be real. That was Kansas City getting a little too greedy. And I think Kansas City in that situation, I think they thought, okay, they didn't have they didn't respect the Bengals maybe as much as they should have. I'm trying to think. I don't want to bash Kansas City because I understand it. Because if you got the momentum, you're wanting to put a team out in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even want to put yourself in that situation.
And what hurts is that it was Patrick Mahomes. He wanted to go for the touchdown. He told Reed he wanted to go for it because Reed wanted the field goal and take the 3. But no, Mahomes was like, no, I want to go for it. So, you know, they sent in a play and Andy Reed said, well, maybe next time I would call a different play. Well, obviously that, because that play didn't work, but it's, you know, the play just didn't work. And I mean, hats off to Eli Apple, just him. He literally zoned right in. He ran the exact angle. I mean, you couldn't run a better angle. He ran the exact angle he needed to get to him, to essentially clothesline him, to knock him down.
And a couple things really on this play. One, I'm not putting blame on Andy Reid on that one. Andy Reid's obviously going to come out and he's going to shoulder the blame for that. I don't think he deserved it. That's on Patrick Mahomes. As soon as he sees that play, the way it started off, because here are the key. Here's the key to that play. Jesse Bates and I want to say Woozie. I want to say they blew their guys up right at the beginning of that play. They jammed them right at the line. That caused the timing to be completely off.
Yeah, because that play's not supposed to go to Tyreek Hill.
Exactly. So then Mahomes has to recognize that. Okay, my two guys are jammed right at the line. Bengals did a phenomenal job of coverage on that play. And therefore, you know, with that being the case, what do? He turns and looks at Tyreek Hill. Sometimes you just gotta throw it away. Live another day, take the 3 points, and you put yourself, it's 24-10. Bengals are still feeling good about themselves. They're only down 14 at that point. And Kansas City's like, okay, hey, we got points out of that. It's not the, you know, not the ideal situation, but it's, hey, we're still up 14 and you live to go from there. And here's the thing. We have bashed Eli Apple in some games and it's been justified, but let's be real though. Eli Apple has been a solid signing for the Cincinnati Bengals so far this year. The guy hasn't played a relatively, you know, bad stretch of football outside of a handful of plays here and there. I mean,
just the Bears game.
But hey, you know, he's come up and he's played and he's made some serious plays when it's mattered most to this football team.
And let's be honest here. Here we are coming up on the Super Bowl. So right after Super Bowl, we have free agency. He's a guy who's definitely earned himself money. And here's a guy who was known by the Giants and the Saints, and not so much Carolina because he was hurt when he played for Carolina, but for the Giants and Saints, as a guy who was not a team player, who just wasn't apparent, living up to the billing of being a first round pick. And just basically, they thought he was going to wash out of the league, but he came here, for a second chance. Lou knew who he was. He knew he had the talent. He figured, hey, let's give him another shot. He came here and he's come through. And I mean, come through amazingly. And I mean, pretty much he's starting over our prize free agent of Trey Waynes, a guy who makes $18 million and here Eli Apples, who probably makes two. And he's a starter over him. He's been spot on and he plays amazingly. So, He's been one of the key cogs of our defense the whole second half of the season. You there, Chris, or did I lose you? Think I lost you, Chris. I think we lost Chris, guys. I think I'm going to leave the recording, and I think we'll have to have Chris sign back on for us here.
What's up, everyone? We are back now after the slight technical difficulties we had here, but we are back discussing the play that really turned the game to the Bengals' favor in that second half, and that was the B.J. Hill interception. That was, right after Kansas City, the Bengals had gone down and they had kicked a field goal to make it 21-13. That was the Evan McPherson 31-yard field goal on that 11-play, 52-yard drive. Took 5 minutes and 42 seconds off the clock. Bengals get the ball back right after the Patrick Mahomes interception, and it was literally on the second play of the Chiefs' drive to where B.J. Hill tips it right to himself, boom, picks it off. Bengals are in business right from, you know, right from the get-go there. And they end up going, what was it, 5 plays, 27 yards in 2 minutes and 4 seconds to tie the game up. How crucial was that? And how, what was your feeling as soon as that happened? What were your thoughts on, all right, you know, what are we looking at now? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, if you watch the replay again, let's be honest here. If B.J. Hill doesn't intercept that, Trey Hendrickson's right behind him. Trey Hendrickson intercepts that ball if he's not there. I mean, it's uncanny. We have two guys lined up right in line for that interception. I mean, if B.J. Hill doesn't miss, if he misses that, Trey is right there to pounce it. So, I mean, it's like we almost read that play perfectly because we had literally two guys in line for that play. It was awesome. But, I mean, I think that's the play, like you said. I mean, besides the Eli Apple stopping, you know, right before halftime, which obviously allowed us to get back in the game, this is where the game truly looked in our favor now. Because, you know, here we are, you know, a defensive tackle, I mean, intercepts a pass, gives us complete momentum now. And then we go down the field, and finally, you know, Joe finds his boy in the corner, you know, Jamar Chase, finally gets the one-on-one matchup he's looking for, and boom, in the end zone, scores, get the touchdown. Trent Taylor, who's been on our practice squad all year, comes in, has not played barely any offense for us all, runs a perfect route, gets us a two-point conversion, and now here we are 21-21 all, which, I mean, absolutely insane. I mean, here we thought we were going to be down 28-10. Here we are back in the game, just like that, 21 all.
It's incredible to think about, because at that point, you're feeling great, and then just like that, we give them the ball right back. And it's like, oh, man. Because we force them to punt, and you're thinking, okay. You know, we get the touchdown, and we're like, okay, here we go. And then, you know, like I said, you're feeling good at this point in time. And then it's just – oh, you're feeling good, and then, you know, you have the interception that Joe Burrow throws. And again, to me, it was a missed call because it should have been defensive offsides. I believe it might have been Chris Jones. I think the end at that point, he jumped offside, and it was not called. Which, let's be real, a lot wasn't called in that game because the officiating once again was brutal. But still, it was a great play. And I forget who made the interception, but regardless, ran the route better than Jamar Chase did. And then let's be real, it was a poor throw by Joe Burrow.
It was definitely not in the location where the ball was supposed to be. And Joe admits that on that. It was definitely on him, he said. I mean, because Jamar was where he needed to be. The throw is not where it needed to be. That was the problem.
Yeah, throw was bad. It was a bad throw. It is what it is. I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those, well, hey, well, bummer. But, we're able to force them to punt. And then literally the very first play is picked off. Oh, it was picked off by Laverius Sneed is who it was.
That's right.
And, you know, again, great play, bad throw. He did a great job intercepting it. Great job on him. Then we forced Kansas City to go 3-and-out. And then you're feeling good about that because, okay, after the interception, here's Kansas City's chance to take that momentum right back, snatch it right back up, and, you know, go right on down, score a touchdown, take the lead, and you know, basically finish this game out and finish the Bengals off. Au contraire, that's not what happened. We forced them to punt. They go 3-and-out. And then here's the – underrated play of the game occurs on 3rd down and 6 at the 24-yard line. And you know exactly what play I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yep.
And Joe Burrow, how in God's name he pulled this off, unbelievable. He is in the grasp of Chris Jones, who how Burrow did not get sacked. There was three defensive linemen around Joe Burrow at this point in time. He escapes. Again, third and six at the 24. He gets pushed out of bounds at the 31. A 7-yard gain. Boom. First down.
He even stretched out his arm with the ball just to make sure.
And that, I mean, again, underrated play of the game on how crucial that was, because if you don't get that first down there, you're giving them the ball right back. And what did the Bengals
and that play right there, there was a lot of, I've read a lot of, things about that. And I even Colin Coward was talking about this a little bit today, is that that's the biggest difference between Joe Burrow and most quarterbacks. And he was referencing Andy Dalton as well too. That's the big difference between, obviously Joe Burrow and Andy Dalton, is Joe Burrow's willingness to win and doing whatever it takes, he's going to do. And I mean, that's why he's a true leader. He's Tom Brady, that's the big stretch right now, because obviously totally different parts of their careers, but he just, his willingness to win and what he ever has to do for his teammates and whatever he has to do to get everyone to the next level, he's going to do. And I mean, he just never wants to give up, and which is awesome. I mean, as a fan of the team, to watch him, and when he's done, you're like, that's my quarterback. That's my quarterback. And that's a great feeling to know.
Exactly. Because that mentality, and the guys know that they can count on Joe Burrow to go out and make a play like that. Because literally, just two plays later, it's third and seven, and Burrow scrambles it right up the middle for 11 yards. Same type of situation, but
yep.
This, and this time here, there was an opening, like a hole that he was able to run right on through and scramble for that 11 yards. But that's a first down again. And he, because of his, I mean, his mental makeup and his, like you said, his willingness to, and just drive to win, put them in that position. Because that drive continues, and what do? We kick a 52-yard field goal to take the lead. And I mean, what more could you ask for? I mean, that's, that means so much, because now you've got 6 minutes and 4 seconds left in this game, and you're up three when you were just down 18 points.
Anyway, we were down 21-3, and now here we are up 24-21. We literally went on a 21-0 spree, 21-0. Yeah,
21-0 run, basically.
21-0 run. Yeah, I mean, 21-0 run. I mean, against Kansas City in their stadium, to go on a 21-0 run. Once again, there's not many teams in the NFL that can do that against a team like Kansas City.
And that's the thing. And that's where, when we had talked about feeling good about this game and who we were going to end up playing, we both felt, like I said, there's only a handful of offenses that can do that to Kansas City. And we are one of them. And it's the fact you've got Chase, Higgins, Boyd, Mixon, and obviously JFB. And that, that speaks volumes of how your team can come out and handle themselves in situations where you're down, on the road at Arrowhead Stadium, the loudest stadium in the NFL, loudest stadium, one of the loudest stadiums in sports, period. And to do that because of the confidence of your quarterback, I mean, that again speaks.
Oh yeah, and not to mention, we did this comeback without our starting tight end. CJ Uzama goes down early in the game, and a lot of these third downs are plays where Joe looks for CJ, and CJ's not there, Uzama's not there, and I mean, so Joe's forced to improvise on a lot of those plays, and Joe's Joe, and he's Joe cool for a reason, and he improvises to a T, and just manages to move the sticks. I mean, which is amazing. And I mean, so, I mean, it's like, it's for us to come back from being down 21-3 to turn around to be up 24-21 in their stadium, the fourth quarter, where basically we're in charge now of the game. It's unreal.
And that was the, that was absolutely incredible to think about how, just the roller coaster of emotions in this football game, to be down 21-3, to being up 24-21 with 6 minutes to go, and then feeling nervous because here come the Kansas City Chiefs with 6 minutes to go. They go right down the field again, 14 plays, 49 yards. And then, I mean, it elapsed all of the time off the clock. But again, it was a couple massive errors by Patrick Mahomes that put them in this position. And it, that's the part that really that just baffles me. Because you get the ball at the 5 yard, you've got first and goal at the 5 yard line with a minute and a half to go.
Uh-huh. In
two straight plays, Mahomes is sacked by Sam Hubbard. Unbelievable.
That I mean, whole... like they were saying, he was definitely confused by the defense we were running. And I mean, to his chagrin, I mean, he's still a young quarterback. He still hasn't seen every type of defense that can be run, which, you know, it's understandable. But I mean, he's a guy who's, you know, he's going to learn from these mistakes. He really is. Everybody knows he'll still be there. He'll be, you know, the Bengals will be contending with him next year, obviously, with Josh Allen and the Bills. I mean, you know, we'll be the teams we reflect. But yeah, I mean, he cost the team the game there late in the game.
Because of, just a couple mental errors. And that was the most incredible part of it was, you know, and the second sack by Sam Hubbard was the one that was – it was incredible because he's – you know, he's set as the spy in that play. And so he's – like literally he drops back and he is spying Patrick Mahomes. Again, credit the Bengals defense for absolute lockdown coverage. Mahomes couldn't do anything. And then you see out of nowhere, shot out of a cannon, here comes Sam Hubbard. I mean, absolute – you know, missile beelining towards Patrick Mahomes, has him all flustered, and it's a 15-yard sack. So, again, you go from first and five, then you get a 5-yard sack by Hubbard the play before, and then you get a 15-yard sack where you cause him to fumble it, and just like that, Kansas City has to call a timeout with 3 seconds left to kick a 44-yard field goal by Harrison Butker to tie it up, to send it to overtime. Absolute horrible clock management by the Kansas City Chiefs with, again, a minute and a half left, and you have the ball at the 5-yard line, and you run 4 plays, and one of those is a field goal. Absolute horrible clock management by the Chiefs. Just horrible. I mean,
absolutely. And I mean, he definitely was, like I said, he was definitely frustrated with the defense that we were running. And I mean, it's just something he wasn't familiar with. Our cornerbacks were stepping up. We were definitely jamming their receivers late in the game and managed, you know, playing more man to man. Whereas the first half we played a lot more zone. And it's just, they made no adjustments at all to what we were doing in the second half, which is very surprising.
Yeah, it was kind of stunning to watch. And then here comes overtime. And overtime, Kansas City wins the toss. Obviously, they elect to receive. And we all know how it played out the week before. They get the ball.
Most Bengal fans were squeezing their cheeks then.
Oh, yeah. It was definite pucker time.
We're most Bengal fans. I mean, as soon as – and me personally, this is how I was feeling. I saw the coin toss, and I see that they win the coin toss. I'm like, all right, here we go. I mean, you know, because – like you said, I mean, when the game ended before we went to overtime, our defense was on the field. So now here, our defense has to go right back on the field now.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, great. So our defense is obviously tired. And, you know, they'd already been on the field for long enough. So here we are. They're back on the field again. It's like, all right, Mahomes is going to, you know, he's going to clear up some mistakes. He's going to take them down the field. And he's going to do what he did to the Bills. But we were all in for a surprise.
My, you know, as soon as it happened, I went, oh, crap. And then Tony Romo, good Lord. Oh, Superman's taking off his cape now. And I'm like, shut up. Like, we get it. You're a Kansas City homer. Just enjoy it. Like, good Lord. But just be unbiased on the broadcast. But here's the thing. Just like that, 3 plays. My whole mentality was hold him to a field goal. That's the best we can do. Hold them to a field goal. But man, we are in for a rude awakening because here's the thing. Maybe not a rude awakening. Kansas City was. Because three plays in, intercepted by Von Bell. And a phenomenal play made by Jesse Bates to knock the ball out of the hands of Tyreek Hill, right into the hands of Von Bell. He returns at 5 yards. Bengals get the ball. And everyone, and as soon as that play happened, I knew we were going to win. I knew it because, one, we're relatively close to Evan McPherson's field goal range anyway. So you really didn't need to go too far.
No, I mean, and what hurts is and that interception occurred on third down. What hurts is on second down, Eli Apple almost pick-sixed it.
Oh, I know, which would have been incredible, but I'm glad McPherson.
Got, I mean, it's, and it. Here, there was amazing, but it's amazing back to back plays. I mean, essentially, I mean the second down it should have been an interception, but you know he jumped it and he definitely jumped the route amazingly. I mean, once again, tipped the cap to Eli Apple again. He read the route, tipped it up. He just didn't, you know, obviously just, you know, we kept running with a little, he was running a little too fast before he actually had the ball. But, you know, very next play, we turn around, we get the interception. And like you said, we're at midfield, almost already in field goal range. And I mean, like you said, we right then and there, I mean, you're thinking to yourself, just get a field goal here now. Just get us a field goal. That's all we need.
So we've got the ball at the 45 yard line, our 45. First play, a short pass to T. Higgins for 9 yards. Okay, now we got the ball at the 46. Handed off to Joe Mixon. He runs 4 yards. I'm like, okay, now we got first and 10 at the 42. Another run by Mixon for 2 yards. Second eight at the Kansas City 40. Now at this point, that's a 57-yard field goal. Okay, I mean, I'm confident with McPherson nailing a 57-yarder. Au contraire. Burrow passes to Higgins. Now you're definitely in it. 32-yard line, first and 10. Mixon up the middle, 7 yards. At the 25-yard line now, Mixon. Rush for 13 yards. And at that point, it's like, okay, here we go. And just a couple plays, there was another run. And then Burrow, you know, he kind of just kind of jogs over to set the ball at the correct hash. Where McPherson wanted it. Boom, we call timeout. Or no, we didn't even call timeout. Just kidding. And 31-yard field goal sends us to the Super Bowl. Absolutely incredible.
But I want to go back to what you're talking about with the because they did talk about this today and I did rewatch it and I think they are right. Is that on the play where Mixon runs a 13-yard run?
I knew you were gonna.
He runs the field. No one ever touches. He gives himself up and goes to the ground and puts the ball on the ground. Like they said, and that's what this is why Andy Reid did call timeout. They did it. They did find out today. That is why he called timeout. Is that he was never touched and they picked up the ball. So the first part is should that have been a fumble? Yes, but the only problem on that very same play, we actually had a legal formation as well too, where we had the lineman was covering up the wide receiver, or what is vice versa, or the wide receiver's covering up the lineman. So on that very same play, so we actually had two things go wrong on that place. We had an illegal formation and we actually had a fumble which should have taken place. But I mean, there was a lot of missed calls during that game, a lot of stuff that went the wrong way. But I mean, I would rather have the illegal formation be incorrect. If it went down that way, I would rather have had the illegal formation and not the fumble.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But again, I didn't believe it. I did rewatch it, and there are a couple times where he is slapped while he's running. Like, you know, a couple guys got him in his back. So technically, yeah. I think those can count towards being knocking him down. So I mean, I think that could, you know, over obviously the whole fumble issue. But I mean, it was really close to being, you know, not being down by contact or not. But yeah, it really was interesting because I watched it a few times and I'm like, he truly was not really tackled. I mean, yeah, while he's running, he's hit a few times, but no one ever really knocked him down though to get him to the ground.
Honestly, I didn't think it was a fumble. I and even in rewatching it, I still didn't think it. I could, you know, I guess I could understand it going both ways, but I didn't think it was a fumble personally. So, you know, but hey, the breaks are going the Bengals' way. That's something that never happens. So, I'll take it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I'm not going to complain about it. Like I said, without a doubt, it's like, it's just like you said. For once, the calls this postseason have definitely gone our way.
And it's about time. And then you look at the final statistics, Joe Mixon, a great day, 21 rushes for 88 yards, and that was an average of 4.2 yards per carry. His longest was 23. Joe Burrow, 5 rushes for 25 yards, and those two of those were some of the biggest runs we're going to, you know, we're going to see. Jamar Chase had the one rush for 3 yards. Joe Burrow, 23 of 38, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, a quarterback rating of 86.5. He was sacked one time. One time. Coming off of a game where he was sacked 9 times. Joe Burrow was only sacked once for 7 yards. T. Higgins, man, T stepped up. Targeted 10 times. He hauled in 6 of those for 103 yards. Jamar Chase, targeted 9 times, hauled in 6 for 54. Tyler Boyd, targeted 6 times, hauled in 4 for only 19. But those 19 yards were crucial. P. Ryan, targeted, 4 times, hauled in 3. Mixon, 3 for 3. Drew Sample, 1 for 4, and then C.J. Uzama, 0 for 2. But, again, Joe Burrow, the dude just – he makes plays. And then you flip it over to the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, the Bengals did – outside of the first – really the first half where they were really doing a great job of running the football, Jerick McKinnon, 12 rushes for 65 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 6 for 36. Mahomes, 3 for 19. Hardman, 2 for 18. And Burton, 1 for 1. A total of 139 yards on the ground for 5 different guys running the football. Bengals defense did a great job. They really did a good job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They didn't allow for a 100-yard receiver either. Travis Kelce had a great game. 11 targets. He hauled in 10 for 95. Tyreek Hill, 7 for 10 for 78. Hardman, 3 for 4 for 52. McKinnon, 3 for 4 for 30. Pringle, 2 for 3 for 16. Edwards-Helaire, 1 for 2 for 4. And then Robinson, 0 for 3. So, again, Patrick Mahomes, he goes 26 of 39 for 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. He had a quarterback rating of 91.3. He was sacked 4 times in this game for 39 yards. That's incredible.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, the Bengals defense definitely stepped up. They did their job. I mean, like you said, Kansas City was doing a great job running the football. And it was all in the first half. And then they abandoned it in the second half. Jerry McKinnon was running really good in the first half against us. He was getting chunk yardage every time, 7-8 yards. He was doing good. And they completely abandoned that in the second half. Here's the thing.
You know, I'm sorry to cut you off, but you look at, like I said, the tale of two halves. That first half, Patrick Mahomes, 18 of 21, 220 yards, 3 touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 149.9.
Wow.
Second half, 8 of 15, 55 yards. All 4 sacks occurred in that half. He had 1 interception, a quarterback rating of 34. You talk about, again, tale of two halves on that. And looking at the stats, it is actually kind of interesting because McKinnon rushed for 6 for 32 in the first half and 6 of 33 in the second half. So he was dead even,
Which
I didn't – it seemed, basically from the cover of it all, that his first half was so much better than the second half.
It definitely seemed that way. I mean, it didn't seem like I can't remember him doing much in the second half.
That's the thing. I can't either. And that's why when you were saying that, I was completely agreeing. And I looked and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't recall any of that. So I guess it might've been because of,
and I mean, even Travis Kelce, a lot of his yards came early in the game. And in the second half, I mean, if you look it up, I mean, in the second half, we put, wow, amazing enough, another great pickup on us. We put Flowers on him in the second half for coverage, and Flowers shut him down.
Flowers did a great job. I mean, Kelce, Flowers, he was targeted.
Flowers has been key for us late in the season here. He did the same thing against Oakland when he took over Darren Waller in the second half. He ended up stopping Darren Waller late in the game. And then when we played Tennessee last week, he obviously he wasn't as crucial against Tennessee because Tennessee doesn't have that big name tight end, so we didn't really need him. But he's truly turned out to be a good stopper because he's a corner, he's bigger, so he's fast enough to cover these big tight ends, which is crucial. He's been another awesome pickup.
Oh, every bit. I mean, Kelce, yeah, he was targeted 6 times in the second half, and he brought in 5 of those for 40 yards. But only one of those plays, it was 18 yards. So technically, he had 22 yards on 4 receptions outside of that 118-yard play. So, yeah, he wasn't, I mean, he was good, but they did a, like you said, Flowers did a great job of helping shut him down, as this game moved forward. So, I mean, great job by Flowers and the rest of the defense to really hold the Kansas City weapons to really nothing. And that's something you don't see. You don't see a Kansas City offense end up with 3 points in the second half, including overtime. It doesn't happen. The Bengals did that. And that's why, my friend, we are in the Super Bowl because of
Who would
that.
have, who would have ever
Man,
thought it?
I know, man, this is just, it's incredible. I know we've kind of gone long tonight, but it was kind of, we definitely went really in depth in this game, more than what we normally would, I'd say.
Yeah,
But,
oh, definitely. It was a lot went into depth in this game, though.
oh, yeah, there was definitely a lot in it. And, again, this is just a phenomenal time to be a Bengals fan. Everyone should again soak it in and enjoy it. And here's the thing. I'm ecstatic for Mike Brown and the Brown family for everything that that they have they've endured, whether justified or not, regardless, it doesn't matter. Seeing Mike Brown up there, receiving the Lamar Hunt trophy or the yeah, the Lamar Hunt trophy there, was just it was so surreal. I'm so happy for them. So happy for, Sam Hubbard and Kevin Huber, the two Cincinnati boys. It's just, it's so great, and it's still hard to believe. And when it happened, we talked about it, I did. I absolutely bawled my eyes out. I was hyperventilating, drooling. I had snot coming out. I was crying so hard. But it was, I mean, just still so surreal that, we're going to the Super Bowl, man. It's amazing.
It's like I said, I mean it's amazing because all the pundits out there, all the broadcasters, oh yeah, this is a team that could win 2 games this year. Oh, this is a team that can win 4 games this year. And it's like, even us at the beginning, oh, this team can win four between four, maybe 10 games, maybe up to maybe as many as 10. Well, we were figuring anywhere in the 7-8 range. I mean, we never saw this coming, but I mean, just like Joe Burrow said, as the season went along. And they started gelling together. They realized what they had, and us as fans, we started to realize what they had, and we're like, this team's good. I mean, and they really are. They're a good team. I mean, we're missing some pieces here, but I mean, we're working through them, and Joe just manages to soldier this forward on. I mean, it's just it's been an awesome year, and I'm really looking forward to the Super. I'm really looking forward to the Super Bowl.
Oh, every bit. And here's the thing, mad props to Zach Taylor. I mean, the dudes flat out love playing for him, and you can see that. And one of the cool moments, real quick, before we wrap this up, was right at the end, Joe Mixon hugging Zach Taylor, and he looks at him and goes, "I'm so happy for you, coach." And that, just it's moments like that, and you can tell. Like I said, these guys love playing for Zach Taylor. I mean, yeah, it's been justified to kind of get on him for the play calling in some of the situations, but you know what? For what he's got this team doing, you've got to give mad props to Lou Anarumo as defensive coordinator. He's done a phenomenal job with this team. And I've said that all along, that I think he's done so much with, this team. And then you couple that with Zach Taylor and what he's got this team believing. I tell you what, I mean, it's a great time to be a Bengal fan, plain and simple. It's a
Oh,
great time to be a
definitely. I
Bengals
mean,
fan.
I mean, it's just really cool. I mean, we you know, it's just as like you said, you're gonna wrap it up here. But just this past weekend, being down at the mall down there, going towards Cincinnati and walking around and just seeing every other person you see walking around wearing Bengals gear, it's so cool. It really is. It's awesome.
Oh, I know. And you go to restaurants and you see people wearing Bengals gear. You look at them, you give them a nod, and you just go, "Who day?" And then next thing you know, people are saying, "Who day?" And then other people in other booths are saying, "Who day?" And that's what it's all about. That's awesome. So, well, I think we'll wrap it up here, and let's reconvene next week. As we'll take a look at the Super Bowl, we'll preview that. So, Nick, as always, man, a great pleasure to have you on again, and we'll definitely be back next week as we'll take a look at the at Super Bowl 56, and we'll look ahead to it.
Yeah,
So,
we'll have to look. We'll look ahead to the Rams and the return of Andrew Whitworth.
yes, sir. So, with that being the case, guys, thank you so much for joining us. As always, much appreciated. The support is fantastic. Make sure you check out the website at www.iscincy.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at IamChrisAsbrock and at IsCincy. And you can follow Nick at CincyZZ. And again, for all your fitness needs, make sure you check out FNXFit.com. That is FNXFit.com. And make sure you use the promo code BDiesel for 15% off of your purchase. And again, we will be back next week to take a look ahead and preview Super Bowl 56, where the Cincinnati Bengals are traveling to SoFi Stadium to take on the Los Angeles Rams. Thank you, guys. And Nick, thank you so much, my man, for joining me again. And I hope you guys all have a fantastic rest of your week. And we will be back next week, everybody. We'll see ya.
Thanks, Chris.